UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Welcome back to the V Show here on ESPN 680 105.7. Pop's a little under the weather. Had to dip out. Give us an hour. Had to save the pipes for the games this weekend. But Perrin Johnson heroically hopping in like Brady for Bledsoe. Pretty impressive work out of you, my friend. Mike Pratt also. You can catch the Fast Break Friday podcast up on the Podcast Center at ESPNLouisville.com and on SoundCloud momentarily. Coach Calipari just wrapped up his press conference with the media. Of course, on a day where a lot of moving parts, a lot of things kind of got thrown astray. Of course, Coach Cal is on time for his press conference. The one time I actually plan around that he's not going to be on time. He, in fact, was, I think, a minute early just to stick it to us here in Louisville. But he just wrapped up with the media. We will play the replay of that as he previews UK's matchup with Auburn. Kentucky basketball back in action tomorrow as the Cats take on Auburn immediately after. Be sure to join Jason Entz and James Strebel. Entz gave himself top billing there. Gotta love it. They'll have you for the Kentucky Farm Bureau Insurance post-game show on ESPN 680-1057. The first place in town that will take your calls, provide instant reaction, hear from Coach Cal, locker room sound, and more. That's all on ESPN 680-1057 tomorrow, directly after the final buzzer. And you heard Jerry Brewer, his interview with Perrin and Mike Pratt. Jerry Brewer, formerly of the Courier-Journal, currently of the Washington Post, gave his thoughts on Super Bowl Live. I think that's what 54. Isn't that it? 54. That's how you say. I'm not too good on my Roman numerals.
Also, the greatest thing is those perfectly roll around live on a Sunday.
I know, right? Yeah, that's awesome. Live on a Sunday, so you could watch it live. You can hear it live right here on ESPN Louisville, as we're your home for Westwood One's presentation of Super Bowl Live or 54. Coverage begins Sunday at 2 o'clock with kickoff at 6:30 on all ESPN Louisville stations 680, 105.7, as well as sister station or partner station 93.9 The Ville. Westwood One's play-by-play for Super Bowl 54 on ESPN Louisville, presented by our friends at Caesars Southern Indiana, Joella's Hot Chicken, UPS Jobs, fueled by Kroger, and delivered by Papa John's. The Caesars Sportsbook app. The Caesars Sportsbook is the book that we use to bet here at ESPN Louisville. For lines and odds, it's all presented by the book at Caesars Southern Indiana, where Kentuckiana bet sports. If you missed it earlier, New York Mike called in. We didn't really have time to get him on. Well, we actually did when it turned out everyone kind of dropped on us or had to get rescheduled. But he passed along his official pick, and that was Kansas City minus laying the point and the under at 54. So your official pick, I'll give mine a little later, so I got to think about it. But what was yours? Did you give it with Pratt or with Jerry?
I didn't, but I just think that while I think Patrick Mahomes is great, I think the more opportunities you get as an offensive player, you'll be successful, because I feel like great offense always beats a great defense at times, but I haven't seen. But then sometimes you just have crazy dominant defenses.
That's what I'm saying. I always think of the ones Super Bowls past. It seemed like a great defense was superior over a great offense. However, I think you're right in the sense that it's oftentimes They set the matchup as a great offense versus a great defense, and it's really an elite defense versus a very good offense.
Yeah.
And I kind of think that maybe that's in this case we have good versus good, not elite versus good.
You know, the 49ers are just so loaded up front, and then they got good DBs, and I would like to see Patrick Mahomes win.
Right.
But I really think the Niners are just going to win because of that defense. I think if they can get to the – I know Patrick Mahomes can move in the pocket, but if they can get to the quarterback, I don't really see them – because I feel like the Chiefs, that game against the Texans, they got down big and then they came back.
Mm-hmm.
If they get down in this game, I don't think they can do that because the way that defense is playing lights out, I don't think they can make a comeback like that. So the question is – who on the Chiefs defense is going to show up? And that's because they weren't good at it in the beginning of the year, and they got better as the season's gone on, and they've been playing better in the playoffs ever since. So I really want to see what's going to happen, but I just think the Niners D is just too dominant, and Jimmy Garoppolo's he looks like he's a good game manager, but he's actually a good quarterback.
Yeah, well, I mean, threw it 8 times in the conference game, in the conference title game. So I mean, we didn't really get to see a really big sample size of him. Do you think the Chiefs D can stop Mostert?
I don't know. I don't know if they can stop him. You know, his running game, the game he had, obviously was really great. But I think, but you know, he rushed for 260 yards in that game.
He went off, man.
And then, you know, you got Kittle. They got some weapons, man. And Kyle Shanahan's a great young mind, and that defense is just lights out. I just like the Niners. I hate to say it, but I really want to see Andy Reid get a ring.
Yeah.
But it's not looking really good.
I don't know. I mean, games of pick'em, it's still. I was my gut was telling me Kansas City, but. The more as the week's gone on, I've leaned more and more towards the Niners, but something's just keeping me from pulling the trigger, and I think it's just the fact that Mahomes is such – I mean, he is an absolute superstar. There's a lot of great players in this Super Bowl, but, I mean, with the exception of maybe Bosa, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is the absolute superstar. I mean, something is just – keeping me from pulling the trigger on the Niners, but when it's all said and done, I think I'm gonna bet San Francisco, but I'm not sure. But we could talk a little bit more Super Bowl later on in the hour. Jeff Walls will join us, 2:45, the UofL women's head coach, coming off their victory over Notre Dame last night, and Muffet McGraw threw a little shade in the press conference. Gotta love that. The Jeff Walls Muffet rivalry is alive and well. But Coach Cal just wrapped up with the media ahead of Travels Mike Pratt, by the way. He had to get out of here right at 2 to catch the flight. But we have Coach Cal's press conference brought to you by our friends at UPS Jobs. Graduate debt-free. Learn more about the UPS Loop Program and Metro College at upsjobs.com. That's coming from a proud Metro College alum himself. And yours truly, Nick Valvano. But Coach Cal with the media moments ago.
Well, we only have 4 left, I believe. Yesterday's practice was after a game. So all we did is condition the guys that needed conditioning extra. The other guys had massages and we had film. Today will be short because we play tomorrow. But next 4 Thursdays or 3 Thursdays will be good practices. But again, you know, I don't know, you know, what'll unfold between then and there. But yesterday was more of a cerebral.
John, with all the emphasis on toughness, how do you rationalize massages?
It's probably a good point. I can tell you. I don't get a massage.
Kevin, when you talk about it, like you want him in better condition, the Knicks has played well because he's in good shape. You want EJ to be in better condition. How tough is it to keep that condition and improve the conditioning while the season is going on?
It's different, but
it's a different conditioning.
Well, if you remember in 2014. Normally, as practices go on and we start getting into February, March, my practice times go way down. That year, they went up. and we were going 3 hours. I very rarely would go 3 hours in my career. We were going 3 hours every chance I could that year because they needed it. So it's all dependent on certain kids. Like yesterday, there were a couple. Emmanuel didn't need any conditioning. He needed to recover. But we got some other guys that still were surrendering at different points in the game. They jog back. They stop playing. They grab their knees. Well, it's an indication of that. It was funny. I was talking to Bam's mom this morning, and his a friend of his was there, and he said, you know, Mom and I were going back and forth, and he was in the background. He jumped on the phone. He said, I've heard all the stories, Coach, and one of the things he said is Bam learned to work. He said he can remember being in the gym at 10 o'clock at night and practically throwing up to try to get in better shape. You had to fight. And if you think that's not the reason, it's because just let me shoot more, play more. Don't say stuff to me. Let me just go out here and do what I do. Where the adage, which athletes would know, most of you here wouldn't, but no pain, no gain. Now, half of you did not respond to that because you're not athletes. No pain, no gain. And so what I'm saying to these guys, hurt yourself. Yesterday's conditioning was funny. They were doing it. When I walked in, whew, some of them would finish and hit the floor. Well, they got to know, I guess I can do this. You're convincing yourself. You're normally, when a kid wants to stop, especially young kids, they got 40% left in the tank. And by the end of the year, we have to have guys, when they're on that floor, they're playing as superior athletes. I'm not trying to beat anybody down. I don't do that. I don't beat them down in film. We're not watching. We don't have three-hour film sessions. A film session for us, if it's more than 15 minutes, 20 minutes, that's long. Most of them are less than that. If I want them to watch tape for 2 hours, what would the tape be of?
Themselves.
They all watch themselves 4 straight hours. They don't have ADHD then. At that point, they can focus on that. But when you're talking game to, I kind of done this long enough where I have an idea. But again, we got great kids that are trying. They're buying in. I mean, they're knowing slowly but surely I'm getting where I need to be. I can feel close. When I hear those things, I'm really, really happy.
John, after Arkansas and Texas Tech, another charged atmosphere probably tomorrow. Is there a wearing effect that you might try to be alert to, or is it like stealing them to handle it?
No, every game is the same for us. I can't make one game bigger than the rest, because if I do that, at some point you're going to start losing games. The whole thing is every game is its own game. Every team we play, one team just went 8 for 72 from the three over a period of time. What'd they do against us? Made 9. That's what happens. You can't every game on the road, we understand what it is. I mean, every game is sold out. Every game, you got to win this to prove yourself. And if you don't win this, you don't. And we know. And then our job is to go in, do what we do, play how we play. You're going to have to play with great energy every night, because if you don't, you get beat. And it doesn't matter who it is. You could be down 9 or 10 if you're not playing. So I don't change, no Newt Rockneys. If I have to do that, it's going to be a shortened season. This has been an empowered team now. This is a player-driven team. They know what's at stake. They know how hard this game is going to be. This will be for us to win a game in that environment on game day where they need it, hard game for us. I understand it. But let's go in and let's see where we are right now.
What makes this team good on the road, whereas some of your other teams have taken some time to get more to handle those environments?
Well, we played a lot of road games early this year. Oh, we didn't? So maybe that doesn't matter? The athletes in the room will understand what I'm saying. I mean, the whole thing is how do you prepare your team? And I think, again, you can look at playing on the road and be inspired by it, or you can be overwhelmed by it. You can be excited about playing on the road and have fun with it, or you can be, oh, my gosh, we got to go into that environment. And I think a lot of it starts from we as a staff, how we feel about road games. I've said it before, if I don't get thorough, and they know this, if I don't get thoroughly booed when I'm introduced, I am mad. And it gets me close to retirement. If I walk in a building and they don't even know I walked in and there's no booing and they just, yeah, fine, I know it, I'm winding it down.
You said the other night that you need Nick. What does he need to do to stay out of foul trouble?
We're going to talk about some of it today. So if you're their coach, what do you think you're trying to do? So you guys do understand this isn't brain surgery I'm doing here. The other guy, how do I get him out? How do I flop around? How do I tell my guy to flop, flop, flop? How do I get him to do that to draw fouls? What do we post him 12 straight? I mean, we got to be prepared as a staff. We got to talk to him. But it's not just him. Who else got to stay out of foul trouble? Yeah. He can't have dumb fouls. You can't foul 72 feet from the basket. You can't foul. I keep telling these guys, this isn't football. It's not a touchdown. It's 2 points that we'll score in 8 seconds. Calm down, we're fine. But they think they take it personal and they get embarrassed. I got beaten, I got embarrassed, so I'm going to grab a guy. You can't be in that mode. You have to learn, okay, I got embarrassed. Let me not get embarrassed next time. I'm going to force him a different way. But it's stuff that we got to talk about and address.
You feel pretty confident?
He's been good. How many games has he fouled out? One thing I'll tell you, you know, where these kids want to go, the best players up there don't foul out. They understand. Now, I am not fouling out. You got to be alert, and you got to be aware, and you got to be focused.
How good is Wiley?
Really good.
You know. What does he bring to all this?
Physical play and being able to score around a basket. Runs and plays hard. Great, great kid. I had him on the USA team. Love him to death. He's a beautiful person aside from being a heck of a basketball player.
John, you mentioned flopping. That was supposed to be a point of emphasis. Watching you and other coaches, I'm guessing you don't think it has been emphasized as much as it should have. Or is it one of those things that they emphasize it at first, but then as the season goes on?
Well, the whole thing is, my point, if you're going to call it, or let it all go. When your post player gets it and he turns and that guy flops, let it go. If you're going to let a guy come off the screen and throw his head back, let it all go. If you're going to let a guy kick his foot out and fall down and you don't call, I'm fine. Just don't call any. I really don't care what the rules are. I don't care. Whatever it is, just make it consistent. And you should never say, I didn't make the – you're a team too, the three of you. You're a team. You saw what he's doing. You do the same. You're a team. It's not one guy. I didn't call it. I was here and, well, why'd you call that one from 30? Well, I'm not in the position. That's my whole thing. I don't care what they do. They're not going to have an effect on the game if there's no effect on the game. If there's an effect on a game, 15 fouls to one, then you kind of got to say something, I think. Any of you athletes agree with that?
One more.
Or should you just, I sit there. I'm not an athlete.
How are they the same? How are they different from the team?
Different players, but they play the same. They play hard. Bruce got them doing what they do. They're tough on baseline out of bounds. They're tough letting you get it in. They're tough on sideline out. They run their little actions into ISOs and, different ways of trying to get easy baskets. And they're good. They're a top 20 team for a reason. And they won their first, 18, 19 games for a reason because they're good. Thanks.
All right, that was Coach Calipari's press conference brought to you by our friends at UPS Jobs. It was a little bit earlier today, but if you want to graduate debt-free, head to upsjobs.com. Coach Cal doing his thing. Gotta love the subtle jabs he was throwing at the media early in the press conference. He was talking about if you guys are if you're an athlete, and pause, and most of you aren't, he just kind of taking the subtle shots, the media. Then you're familiar with the term, no pain. And then he paused and don't really said anything. And then he went, no gain. He's like, see, not many of you guys do that.
I love that. I love what he does.
Coach Cal just needling the media. Somewhere, well, Lachlan McClain is squirming. But he makes a good point there also at the end, talking about that they have a tough matchup right now. Going on the road to play Auburn, a team that's been pretty consistent this whole year. And UK looked kind of anything but the first half against Vanderbilt last game, a team that is the doormat of the SEC, which by all accounts is down a little bit this year, just like the ACC. That's not a shot at the conference where it just matters more or anything like that. But the SEC and the ACC both down this year, and Vanderbilt towards the bottom of that pile. Was kind of throwing UK for a loop, it seemed like, or maybe UK was just sleepwalking a little bit. Was probably the better definition of it. But I mean, your thoughts going into this game? What do you really kind of want to see UK click a little bit with?
I think everything starts inside. For me, I think you got to throw it in and take advantage of Nick Richards. Nick Richards is in a game. He's been a consistent scorer all year. He's been something.
Basically saved him last game.
Yeah, so
went off. What, 15 points in the second half? I think all of them.
Uh huh. 100%. So I think they should just focus on going inside to Nick Richards, in my opinion. And take advantage of him inside. I think the guards can always do what they need to do, and they're always going to be who they need to be. But I think this is also a big game because you want to be in control of your own destiny, and you don't want to worry about. Because right now, I think LSU is undefeated in conference. And so I think Kentucky's sitting in second. So with those things all considered right there, I think you want to be in control of your own destiny. And when you talk about Kentucky and you talk about the SEC, one thing you don't talk about them is typically on average not being in control of their own destiny. So they need to win this game because, one, you want to get a good seed. And I think Kentucky wants to do something to get a good seed in the tournament, maybe be a two seed in the Midwest Regional so they can play around here. I think that's the main thing. You want to be controlling your own destiny, and those guys can really do that if they get this win tonight. You know, obviously, it's going to be the real key matchup for me in this game is going to be Austin Wiley versus Nick Richards. I think that's a key matchup with those two guys inside. Both of them can step outside and shoot it. They can do a couple things together. But Austin Wiley and Nick Richards is the key. So nobody really consistently knocks shots down from three consistently. Kentucky is a streaky shooting team. Sometimes they're on, sometimes they're off, unless Johnny Juzang is going to go 5 for 8 and be unconscious this game, which I'm not saying that's going to happen, but stranger things have happened. I think that Kentucky just needs to have a good game from Nick Richards inside. And you keep him out of foul trouble. And then, obviously, either Maxi or Quigley's got to get it going. I don't really worry about Ashton Hagen scoring a ton because he doesn't need to because he's a great facilitator as of late, and I really enjoy watching him play as of late. So if you think about those things, I think for Kentucky is being in control of your own destiny, and that's what this game is about against Auburn.
You mentioned the big guys there. I wanted to get your thoughts on this because – personally, I mean, I always think that, look, you got to remember the fact that the kid, had braces like 2 weeks ago, it seemed like, and should still be in high school. But Locke made a point of this. Maybe we should play the sound. It was from a little earlier in the week, but it's a long soundbite. Cal was talking about Tyrese Maxey and talking about how he needs to realize that, you know, he doesn't have to do it all by himself. I don't want to say it's hero ball. But I almost kind of think early in the year, the Michigan State game where he just went off in MSG, you know, the brightest lights. He basically took over the game. I almost kind of wonder if that has been a bit of a, I don't want to say a detriment, mm-hmm. but it's sort of kind of, I feel like giving him this idea that, hey, when the lights are bright or if it is game time, I don't want to say hero ball because that kind of seems like egotistical. I don't think he's necessarily doing it for ego.
Right.
I think he's doing it because he thinks that he needs to. And he's not trusting the rest of his teammates a little bit. And Cal talked about in length about like reaching out to the kid and like and trying to reach him and how, you know, he doesn't really respond to having his cage rattled. And how he like instead of taking some criticism as like, hey, you got to do this for the next level and whatnot and everything, he just doesn't respond to that. And I just, I mean, you're a former player. You've dealt with, I'm sure you've seen tons of head cases everything. Yeah. But, I mean, just how do you reach, specifically a young guy, and how do you break that mindset of that I have to get the job done?
Well, it goes down to this. At some point, everybody hits a wall where their talent no longer gets them over the hump of who they are as a person. I think right now it's a thing of, I don't fault the Maxi kid for having that mentality, because that's all he knows. So
that's
when you,
a good point.
So when people say things like that, and Cal's trying to reach him to understand, to help him, like one of the things, I'll give you an example of Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant, everybody used to call Kobe selfish. Used to call him Kobe selfish, but you don't win a 5 championships with being a selfish person. And he said that it really bothered him when people said stuff like, you know, I want to win, but I mean, 9 times out of 10, when you have a guy that has that type of mentality, they feel like the best possible way for them to win is what? Them making a play. I think for the
right,
Maxi,
they trust themselves
100%. Like, so when you look at a kid, you got to think about this. This is a young man who's been ranked in the top 20 players in the country since he's probably in the 8th grade. His mentality has been like, you're one of the best guards in the country. You're probably the best guard coming out of Georgia or wherever he's from. I think he's from Georgia or Texas, one of the two. I think he's from Georgia. So now you're one of the best guards coming out of Georgia. Your high school team has always leaned on you to be a walking bucket, to get buckets, to score the basketball. If you know, your AAU team has always depended on you to be a walking bucket and score the basketball. So when you come to college, and you work all college in the preseason. You're a freshman. You've been on campus for 4 months. And what happens? You know, the scrimmage games, you do all right. You come out on the biggest stage in college basketball on the night of nights, and you score 20 points.
The logo.
You score that many points, right? Against the number one team in the country. So, know what that means? Guess what, Nick? You can't tell me what I need to do, coach. I don't care if you've been around the game 30-some-odd years. Can't you see what I'm doing out here? But now, it's not like that first game of the year. And I got 15 to 18 tapes of you playing. And I know what you like to do. So now you have to make adjustments, because I know when you get to your right hand, you can score. So now it's about, if I take away those things, can you score? If I take away your right hand, can you score? If I force you to the left, can you get a bucket? Because that's what makes great players great. When you take away a strength, and how do they counter that?
Right, how many weapons they have.
So what Cal is trying to tell him in so many words is, hey, man, that's going to work right now, but it's not going to work later. Like on defense, if you can't guard a kid from Auburn, how the hell are you going to guard Kyrie Irving? You know, same thing with, like, you know, why people ask me, why am I hard on Jordan Wara? Because if he's in the NBA next year, which he should be, he's going to have to guard a guy like Kawhi, a guy like Paul George. Those are guys he's going to have to guard. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about right now. We're talking about where they're trying to go. And that's where they're focused on. That's why we're talking about these things. So for me, eventually, if he doesn't listen to Cal and buy in, his selfishness will cost them a game. And the reason why you address those things is you don't want to deal with that when it comes down to it in the moment. You don't want to deal with that when it comes down to the Sweet 16, right, and we need you to make a play, but you want to be selfish and take a fadeaway when you got two people on you rather than making a pass for a guy to make the game-winning bucket. That's the things that people worried about. Those are the things. That's why Cal is on him. So it's not always about – that's why it's funny. People get on LeBron about passing the ball instead of shooting at big moments, but when guys don't make the right plays, we ride them out too.
I was about to say, I mean, and I've been one too. Occasionally when – I mean, me and Coop, may he rest in peace, would always fight with Biscuit and Jason about who the GOAT was. We were on Team Kobe. They were on Team LeBron. And we would fight back and forth, and I always remember Coop would always play that game. He was like – he would always say, like, Kobe would shoot that shot. He wouldn't give it to Kyrie. And then, so, but like you said, if you know, LeBron were to shoot that and miss, then we would be chastising him and saying that, you know, it's hero ball over the place. But I agree with you. You know, he's trying to, it's preventative health care, I always think. Like, you know, let's try to take care of it now in the middle of conference play. But another thing is, I was about to say, like, with these games, they matter, but they don't. I feel like every game right now really matters for Kentucky to build their resume. I mean, they don't really have. I'm trying to remember. We came up with it. I mean, how many quad one wins win opportunities do they have left? Like three, maybe? Is that crazy to think? I mean, and definitely one starting Saturday, right?
Yeah, I would say so. But I guess my main thing is I don't know. I just feel like these guys don't know any better. And I don't know how you get through to them other than sometimes you got to let people fall on their face. Sometimes that's a player you have to fall on your face to realize what you need to do. So, you know, that's how I look at it. I don't know if you can ever get that out your system, because for the same time when you hate a guy that makes a bet, for every Jameis Winston out there, there's a Brett Favre. So, like, when you look at how Brett Favre was great, he threw the ball into impossible windows and it somehow made it there.
Right.
There's always a guy that tried to do the same thing that it never worked out for, and that's Jameis Winston.
And not to say that Brett Favre's overrated. I'm not doing that.
No, not at all.
But I mean, there's always the idea then, I don't even say you have to be a detractor, but you also have to think of it sometimes as, you know, Brett Favre would be a volume shooter, if you will. I mean, he threw the ball a lot, had a lot of misses and interceptions, but also, yeah, could hit shots that it's seemingly nobody else could. So I definitely think there's that. UPS Jobs, text line 437-9680. I'm going to put you on the spot here, but, you know, Hoop's better than myself. Texter asking, PJ, could you kind of explain in layman's terms what a matchup zone is?
Matchup zone is basically, typically you'll see it in a 2-3. So, when you have two guys at the top, typically teams will put one big guy at the high post. Mm-hmm. So, like, if we were playing Syracuse, Peyton would bring the ball down court. Gorgie would be at the elbow, and he would move from elbow to elbow, or they would do what we call X-ing. He would go from elbow to block, and Shane would go elbow to block. You would put a guy like Gorgie in the middle, because once you get the ball to the middle, everything dies. In terms of guarding at 2-3, guarding somebody when you're playing 2-3 zone, both of the guards up top have to designate who has the basketball. You can't have two people not really guarding the ball. So if you have Peyton up there, let's say he's up there with Russ. So Peyton would say, I got the ball. So if he's got the ball and it's more so the right side where Peyton's at, the ball's coming down court, Peyton would take the ball. Russ would drop back a little bit to the middle, and the big guy in the middle of the 2-3 zone would shade up. So that way, because Russ is probably going to have to move on the pass or on the dribble, and him and Peyton going to talk about switch, I got the ball, you drop back middle. So that's how you guard it up top.
Okay.
And then what you do with the wings, we call it a bump. So as the wing, when the ball's made pass to the wing, if T-Will's on the wing, right? So you got Peyton, you got Russ, and you got T-Will on the wing, you got Jerry Smith on the other wing, and in the middle you got, like on defense, we got Gorgie, right? So Gorgie and the two guards would talk about guarding the middle, and the wings would bump. So I would get out there to the wing until Peyton, or like T-Will would get out there till Peyton bumped him down. Then he would drop back down to guard the big guy that's probably running the baseline.
Okay.
And the two wings on the bottom would communicate the guy running the baseline, while making sure you don't get sucked in by penetration if it were to happen, and then you get out to the shooters. So you never want to get plugged in, if that's the best way to explain it. But, I mean, it'd be better with a clipboard. It's kind of hard to do that on radio.
Yeah, no, yeah, I was about to say, I was like, this is why we need video, because, you know, we're an audio medium and visual. But basically, like, the mission statement of, okay, so, like, you know, pack line is you don't want anybody inside. I mean, what's, you know, the mission statement of a matchup zone?
You just try to keep the ball out the middle. And the reason why they call it a matchup zone is you want to kind of put a man around a guy that's in your area. You're matching up with a guy that's in your area. If you don't have a guy in your area, you shade everybody over until everybody has a guy in an area. So that's why they call it matchup zone, because you're matched up like with a man, but you're playing zone. You just don't follow your man if he goes to the other side of the court. That's why it would be zone rather than man.
Gotcha, gotcha. Well, that's Professor Basketball with Perrin Johnson here on the B Show on ESPN 680 105.7 Pops. He'd be leaving right about now anyway to go catch the flight for I forgot where he's traveling off to this weekend, but drawing a blank. I can't believe it. But yeah, feeling a little under the weather, so we're filling in for him. Perrin Johnson, Nick Valvano here on ESPN 680 105.7. You heard Coach Cal's comments earlier. You heard Chris Mack's comments earlier. Coming up on the other side of this break, joining us live will be women's head coach for U of L, Jeff Walls, coming off a big win on the road at Notre Dame. He's also going to talk a little bit about Team USA scrimmaging the Cards at 2 p.m. on Sunday. So keep it locked here to ESPN 680 105.7. It's the V Show with Perrin Johnson and your boy Nikki V.
And we're back. Welcome back to the V Show. Perrin Johnson filling in for the injured 15-day DL, Bob Valvano, as his voice caught a flat tire. And we wish Bob the best. I hope Bob feels better. ESPN Louisville, we want to promote to you the Radio XL code for Papa John's. Radio XL, all in all caps. You get a two-topping extra-large pizza, a two-liter of soda of your choice. Just for $14. Go to papajohns.com for the Papa John's app. Also, ladies and gentlemen, Louisville basketball is back in action tomorrow as the Cards travel to NC State. And for the most coverage, keep it locked on ESPN Louisville. Join Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage for the Louisville basketball pregame show at 1 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville. Immediately after, join them for the Coors Light postgame show with the Sunday Morning Hangover crew live from Union 15 at the Colonial Gardens. We are the first place in town, and we'll take all your calls here live from Chris Mack and the players sounding as well. You can hear that as well. And it is going to be a great thing we're looking forward to as well. Also, Kentucky basketball is back in action tomorrow as the Cats take on Auburn. Immediately after, be sure to join Jason Ensign, James Strebel for the Kentucky Farm Bureau Insurance postgame show on ESPN 680 1057. Here are the first place in town. We will take all your calls and provide instant reaction here from Coach Calipari, the locker room sound, and much more. So we will bring you both games as both teams are in action tomorrow. NC State, while they don't have the best record in the world, they are going to be a tough out. They've been giving everybody a little bit of problems, but they just haven't been able to close out games. And obviously Kentucky, it goes to Auburn, and Auburn is going to be really eager to try to get that W down there on their home court. They always play Kentucky tough. Plus, you know, you want to see how long Kentucky keep this run up to try to get another SEC crown before they head into the SEC tournament as well. So a lot of things to get to as well. And we are Nick. We have
the illustrious head coach of the U of L women, Jeff Walls, joining us fresh off an emphatic win on the road against Notre Dame. Coach, congratulations on the dub, and thanks for joining us today on the V Show.
I sure appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Coach. And Coach, I want to sit back and talk to you about the fact that you just come off a great win, 86-54 at Notre Dame. You know, and when you got the girls coming back here, I'm eager to see as you guys play one tough matchup going into another this Sunday. What is it like coming back off of this game? Obviously, it feels good to get a win against Notre Dame, but more importantly, get these girls rest and get them prepared for Team USA on Sunday.
No, yeah, it was a great win last night. I liked how we approached it and kind of took care of business early, which allowed me to get a lot of people minutes, you know. I think Yassine Diop may have played the most with 28 minutes, and then it was down to 25, and I was able to spread them out, you know, pretty evenly, which is always a nice thing. We took the day off of practice today and actually had the opportunity to watch our national team practice from around 11 to 1, which was a great experience for our players. And then the national team was very gracious with their time and allowed our players to ask them questions and mingle with them, which, you know, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for our kids, and I was really proud of them for taking advantage of it.
Yes, and speaking of the Notre Dame game that you won last night, you know, the score was 86-54. You know, last year you guys went up there, you guys led by 3 at the half, and then you lost by 14. Is it good to go up there and get another win in a tough environment? And obviously, you know, you and Notre Dame play each other really tough every year.
Yeah, it's always good to go on the road and get a win. That's one thing we've talked about, is being able to steal a few on the road. And you know, we're starting the set the second half of our league, and Notre Dame was the first game of it, and being on the road, it's great to be able to steal one. And now we'll come back and play on Sunday here in a non-conference game, a little exhibition game, which should be great. It's very exciting. And then we'll return home on Thursday night against Florida State. So some really good ball games in front of us. And I know our kids are very excited.
Yeah, this is a hell of a stretch when you talk about the Notre Dame game. You got Team USA, and Florida State's always a tough out as well. You know, when I look at the names that these young ladies are going to compete against on Sunday before the Super Bowl. By the way, I think it's a great breakup because I'm not one of those people that can watch 6 hours of coverage about a game. Like you can only break down a game so much before it's played. So for me, I'm really excited about the fact that you're having this game played at 2 p.m. because it's perfect for me to go to the game, and then after I leave the game, roll right into the Super Bowl. So I just want to say shout out to you and the whole athletics over there for making sure this was set up properly at the proper time.
I sure appreciate that. You know, it worked out well for us. ESPN has picked the game up also, and I've just been really pleased and appreciative of all of our fans, our city. We're up to over 10,000 sold for this game on Sunday. And, you know, we have had some conflicts with Super Bowl parties and different events. But, you know, to be able to get 10,000-plus speaks volumes for, you know, what our city thinks of women's basketball and the opportunity to see some of the best players in the world play with our national team.
No, absolutely, Coach. And I want to tell you something. You know, I remember when Angel first came here, and I used to give her a hard time in practice her freshman season because she used to turn the ball over so much, and I used to call her Apple Turnover. So to see what she became was a truly remarkable thing because when I saw her after she, like, graduated for the first time, she said to me, "You can't call me Apple Turnover anymore." I said, "The last thing I'll ever call you again is Apple Turnover ever again," because she used to throw the ball away so much her freshman year. But one of the things I will say is when you look at the lineup of the national team that's coming in here, you got Asia Wilson, you got Kelsey Plum, Tina Charles. Obviously, I've seen Angel play and Sue Bird play, but Diana Taurasi, she grew up about 10 minutes from where I went to high school. She went to Don Lugo High School. So I got to see Diana Taurasi way back in the day before she ever went to UConn. So I'm pumped up and I'm excited to see her because to see her how she was, a Southern California legend then, and to see how she is now, I'm just truly excited to see this game. And you know, there's a lot of great matchups here for your girls to have to guard in this game. Well, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Have you explained any of that to them?
You know what? We have not really talked a whole bunch about any matchups yet or anything like that. We'll actually practice tomorrow and go through some film and then, you know, prepare then. Today was more of a trying to get our kids some rest. We've had a pretty tough schedule in the terms of travel. So it was nice to be able to give them today off from, per se, practice. We did watch the national team practice. We'll practice tomorrow, play on Sunday, and then we'll have Monday off again. So hopefully we'll be able to get everybody back feeling good and, you know, just have a great opportunity to go out and compete.
And this game will be played at 2 p.m. for everybody wanting to go. And, Coach, are there still tickets available for this game?
Yes, there still are. You can go to gocards.com/USA and get your tickets. So, you know, it'd be awesome if we could get another 1,000 in the place to get us closer to about 11,000 or 12,000. But, you know, it's going to be an exciting day and should be a great environment.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, I just want to say thank you for allowing us to see this greatness come to Louisville, because I don't know how long it'll be before we ever get Team USA back here again. And so I just want to say thank you for that, and I hope you guys – I want to see the Cards get a W coming in here on Sunday. I know it's going to be a hard one, but let's make it happen, Coach. Bring it home.
I sure appreciate it. We are going to do everything we can. And we're just really excited. I mean, it's going to be a great day on Sunday. So I appreciate the time, guys.
All right. Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, Coach. Well, there you have it. Jeff Walls, head coach of the U of L women, doing battle with Team USA 2 p.m. on Sunday ahead of Super Bowl Live. Tickets start at $7 when a group is 10 or more. Regularly priced single game tickets also available for $10. They're available at gocards.com/USA, as you heard from Coach Walls, coming off a big victory on the road with Notre Dame. Well, PJ, we're wrapping up the V Show here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Andy Sweeney, who was actually named to the Barrett Sports Media Top 25 sports program directors in the nation. So shout out to Andy. A whole lot of accolades this week. Our boy Jason Anderson, I think, cracked the top 10 in terms of midday hosts. The V Show, we were 21st in that ranking. And Drew Diener, 14th in morning shows. And now Andy joining in the accolades, top 25 program directors. So shout out to Andy. However, he will be off today. On the take, it'll be James Strebel, Mr. Biscotti, Biggest Biscuit, and Justin Jeffries all filling in on the take coming up next. But we're wrapping up the V Show here. Perrin Johnson, Nikki V, in for Bobby V, who's a little under the weather and traveling. Might as well get a quick Super Bowl prediction and score. PJ, what do you got for me?
Yes, and I just want to say Super Bowl 54 is brought to you by Louisville ESPN. We are your home for Westwood One's presentation for Super Bowl 54 coverage. It begins Sunday at 2 o'clock. It will kick off at 6:30 p.m. on all ESPN Louisville stations. Westwood One play-by-play.
What's up, bud?
Super Bowl 54 on ESPN. Brought to you by Caesars, Southern Indiana, Joella's Hot Chicken, UPS Jobs, fueled by Kroger, and delivered by Papa John's.
Biscuit's back here giving you hell. He was like, what's he saying? That's not a prediction. He's doing a read.
Oh, you know, we just got to
pay the bills,
Biscuit. Pay the bills, man. You know, that's why this DirecTV is for free. So with that being said, my Super Bowl prediction is going to be, I like the Niners. I like them 35-21.
Man, I'm going back and forth on this, and I know I'm going to change it 100 times, but I'm going to stick with the Chiefs, and I'm going to take the under, and I'm going to go 28-24, Kansas City. Jason Anderson will do a double heel click as the Chiefs are victorious at Super Bowl Live. The Take with Biscuit, Jeffries, and Round Daddy's next. Thanks, PJ.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.